Greetings from Dove of Peace Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Stephen Springer, and this is the podcast for worship for the fourth Sunday in Lent, March 22nd, 2020. Today's liturgy includes two pieces of comfort food, the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd, which happens to be assigned by the lectionary on this Sunday, and we're using the hymn Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amazing Grace has the line, I once was lost, but now am found, which seems to come from the parable of the prodigal son. It goes on, was blind, but now I see, a phrase which seems to come from today's gospel, the story of Jesus and the man born blind. Our gospel today is read by a layperson, Diane Houston, while I will be preaching the sermon. The lessons and the prayers of intercession, the other lessons and the prayers of intercession are offered by John Holter. Kevin Seal is playing the organ, and you'll see his program notes if you download the accompanying service folder. And Eric Holton is our cantor for this service and serves as our director of music and liturgical arts. We pray that this service will be a blessing to you, and that through it, you may be shaped and inspired to be a blessing to others.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king of Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliah and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height of stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammai pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Then Samuel set out and went on to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear friends, last week we talked about the scrutinies, how three great stories from the Gospel according to John were used by the early Christians for spiritual examination in the weeks leading up to Easter. And those three great stories are Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus and the man born blind, and Jesus and the raising of Lazarus. In each of these stories, Jesus has meaningful dialogue with someone, and they usually exhibit uncommon insight as they come to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And so, through the ages, Christians and would-be Christians have meditated upon these stories, hoping to engage with Jesus and to find uncommon insight and a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Insight. Insight is one of those great words in English that means multiple things. It ties some things together. The original literal meaning of insight is that it is the sight that originates within a person, looking and seeing with the mind, not the eye. Kind of like extrasensory perception. Extrasensory, beyond the senses, beyond the sense of sight. So insight originally meant the kind of seeing that we do with our heart, our minds, our faith, and not with our eyes. But then in English it changed over time. And instead of meaning the sight that originates within, it meant the sight that can see into. That's why in modern usage, insight is almost always followed by the preposition into. We want insight into the workings of a virus. Or we want insight into a person's motivations. Or we seek insight into the Bible or the creeds or the mind of God. So insight is this double-edged word in the English language. It originally meant where you look from, and now it usually means where you look to. In our readings today, insight is contrasted with other types of vision. It is contrasted with narrow vision. It is contrasted with worldly vision. And it is contrasted with stubborn vision. Insight, in contrast to narrow vision. Our gospel begins with this question from the disciples. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The man at the center of the story was born blind. He didn't lose his sight due to an illness or an accident. He was born that way. You can see from a certain point of view that being born with a disability or a disfigurement or a disadvantage might seem more tragic. It's easier to accept that bad things happen once a life is underway, but it's harder to accept a bad thing that afflicts a person before their life even begins. And so the disciples are asking that if this man was born blind, before he even had a chance to do anything to deserve blindness, and there's a background for the disciples, a background called the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Whatever you make of that, it seems to indicate that the sins of the parents will be visited upon the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. So the disciples of Jesus perhaps have this in mind. But Jesus says, no, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. So the question is A or B, and Jesus' answer is neither. The disciples are using narrow vision, and Jesus is using insight. Narrow vision is when we see something and we make it conform to our expectations and our understandings. Humans have a great need to find cause and effect. Science says it's so hardwired that we see cause and effect even when it is not there. If you suffer, it must be because you did something bad. If you are fortunate, it must be because you did something good. Not necessarily, says Jesus. The greatest question in the universe is why? And so great is our yearning for the answer to that question that we miss out on what God is up to. Insight is open to what God is up to. God's works that might be revealed. Narrow vision is too busy imposing answers to truly see. That's insight, in contrast to narrow vision. And then there's insight, in contrast to worldly vision. Our first reading is really, truly one of my favorites. It's one favorite of just about everyone who's read the Old Testament, because it's about the youngest boy in a society in which all privilege and prestige goes to the oldest boy, seniority. And height. The musician Randy Newman had a hit song in 1977, Short People Got No Reason to Live. It made it to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. Human beings are biased, usually toward taller people over shorter people, good-looking people over homely people, sometimes toward lighter-skinned people over darker-skinned people. So there's that in this story, and there's also some sibling rivalry. So in our first great reading from 1 Samuel, this great reading, Samuel is sent to anoint the next king. And there's some comedy as the tall, oldest brother comes first. And the father goes down the list through all the sons, 7 of them, and gives up. And then, as an afterthought, it's the lowest and the least and the last, the shepherd boy, that will become king. And what a king! King David, the uniter of the tribes, the founder of Jerusalem, a great king. But, as it says elsewhere in the Old Testament, short and in this story, last in line. The treasure in this particular story, our first reading, is God's declaration. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, the oldest brother. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. People look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Worldly vision versus insight. And third and last, the Bible contrasts insight with stubborn vision. The villains in our gospel story are the Pharisees and the synagogue leaders. The episode ties them in knots, revealing their self-contradictions. It has very serious consequences because this man who was born blind is cast out of the synagogue, excommunicated, which was a very bad fate for someone in his society, even if he had gained his physical vision. The villains in our gospel are stubborn. They can't see a good thing when it happens miraculously in their midst. They are so hung up on the status of Jesus and on the proper observance of the Sabbath. Once again, the Ten Commandments are employed to justify a lack of vision. The story ends with Jesus declaring to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin, but now that you say we see, your sin remains. Insight versus stubborn vision. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him, and God's works were revealed in the blind man. But those who have functioning eyeballs still fail to see the work of God because they are stubborn. Their sin remains. So on our Lenten journey toward Easter, today's gospel is a scrutiny. It examines us and asks us in what ways we might be blind. Do you want insight? Do you want the gift of light that comes with baptism? Then beware of your tendency to have narrow vision. Beware of your tendency to have worldly vision. And beware of your tendency to have stubborn vision. Elsewhere, Jesus speaks of those who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Sometimes our eyeballs may even see God at work, but our false vision prevents us from knowing God. As we journey toward the promise of new life, God give us the insight to perceive his ways. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray for the church, for the world, and for those in need. We pray for the church. O God, may the church, by your grace, ever be persons who, with insight, walk differently, who walk as children of light, producing what is good and right and true. May the church rise to the call to be a sure sign and voice of your promise, presence, and healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, grant us, people of this congregation now distanced for a time, grant us a deepened awareness of our community and the peace that we share. And we pray, direct our individual lives to be a blessing of care to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the world. O God, may persons of responsibility throughout the world not be blinded by personal fears nor a need for status, but rather let their eyes be open to the opportunity to do right things and to do compassionate work for others in this important time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need. O God, in a time when many feel exposed to dangers, many feel alone and made vulnerable, and for many when life is shadowed by virus and disease, may struggling hearts remember holy words given to them. These words: though I walk through the valley, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. You are shepherding me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Let it be so, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, hear our prayer for those we know and love. Be near them. Touch them. Open their eyes to see with insight the goodness and mercy which follows them all the days of their life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And now, gathered together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. sisters pray to receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.